Firstly, hello from Highlands Christian Church in Mittagong and Pastors Darren and Nikki, who we're working with over there and seeing God do some great and wonderful things. So bless you from them, hello from them. And it's just great to be travelling around at the moment. As Nigel sort of intimated there before, I spent the last 40 years, I suppose, on and off working underground. And I reckon any day above the ground's a good day. I do excuse you. In the last 4 months, Jane and I have been driving around part of Australia. We came across from Broken Hill and down to Port Augusta and up through the centre, up to Darwin and Kakadu and Litchfield and Derby and Wyndham and Broome and all those wonderful places, and we've seen some fantastic things, learnt some things. I learnt secrets that I shouldn't have learnt. Here's one for an example. For many years, Jane accused me of snoring, and I couldn't prove it one way or the other. You know, because you're asleep, you don't really know. But I'd wake up sort of bruised. And, you know, she said that I would start to snore and she would give me a nudge, she called it, and I would roll over and stop snoring, allegedly. Now, I swallowed that lie, holus bolus, I did, until halfway through this trip. One night, I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to answer the call of nature, as sometimes you have to. And I came back to bed. I laid down and Jane was purring, shall we say. That's as far as I'll let go with that. She was purring. And then all of a sudden she goes, like this. Hit me. And rolled over and went back to sleep. I says, gotcha. For all of these years, I sort of believed that I was the one snoring, when in fact, she was the one snoring, hitting me, and then, anyway, you learn stuff that you never should have learnt. Well, we've had a fantastic time, seen some wonderful things across the way, and wild camels and emus and all sorts of wonderful stuff across our nation. It's a wonderful, wonderful nation. And if you haven't participated in something like that, if we ever get the opportunity to, you should take it. This morning I want to talk from one of my favourite scriptures. Now, I don't know what I preached on. I was here about, it must be 10 years ago, maybe longer than that, and I don't know what I preached, and I've forgotten, so probably you have too. So for those of you that were here, so I'll preach this message because it's been on my heart for many, many years, this whole concept of speaking out and calling out in the Spirit of God for our nation, for the place where God has planted us, for our own lives. So if you've got your Bible with you, or your electronic device these days, you could probably say, turn to Ezekiel chapter 37, I beg your pardon. Ezekiel 37, it's called the passage of the dry bones in my Bible. It's even headed up that way, dry bones. And we're just going to go through it a little bit today. And we're going to look at applying it in three ways. A, to the place where God's planted us. In your case, it's Mount Gambier. You're in my place. It's Mittagong in the Southern Highlands of New South Wales. We're going to look at it perhaps applying to our church family, Mount Gambier Christian Centre, for instance, or in our case, Highlands Christian Church in Mittagong. And the third way we're going to look at it is as if it applies to us personally. Me, the person. Me, Joe Bloggs, the Christian. Let's look at it in those three ways. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Before I go too much further, I'm going to pray. Can I do that? Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that you've placed this word on my heart and that you give each one of us the ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying. That we'll walk away from this place having heard something from the Spirit of God that we can take and apply to our lives in such a way that it makes a difference. Not just to us personally, but to our church and to our district. We ask it in Jesus' name. The hand of the Lord was upon me, verse 1, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. And we can discern really only the true condition of where a place is or what's happening in a place by the whole thing, the Spirit of the Lord. It says there, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord was on me. The hand of the Lord was on me. And that's talking about the fact that we need that Holy Spirit discernment in our lives. And you know, sometimes what the Holy Spirit will show you about a place or a church or a person isn't all blue lake scenery, you know. I know blue lakes are beautiful, absolutely beautiful, but that's not the sum total of Mount Gambier. And it's not the sum, you know, whatever he shows us about our district, it's not the sum total. There's much more to it. There's a lot more below the surface. So God shows Ezekiel the prophet this valley full of dry bones. Verse 2. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, and the bones were very dry. And he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And can you imagine the scenery? Here he is. God takes him. He places him in a valley. It's like there's carcasses everywhere. Skin's been, you know, rotted off them. They're dried. And they're not animals. Now, I've seen animal carcasses all over this journey. You look around and you see them everywhere. But these aren't animal bones he's talking about. These are human remains. You know, all the bones are bleached, the skulls are bleached, they're human. He said, now, can that live? Well, when you look at it, you'd have to say, of course not. Of course not. They're dead. The meat's gone off them. They're bleached dry. They're white in the sun. You know, even the blowies are finished with them. Now, it's just nothing left. There's nothing left here that can live. But Ezekiel's wiser than I would be. And he said, God, with my natural eyesight, I'm looking and I'm saying, I can't see how it could work, but God, only you know. And he throws it back to God. God, only you know. Verse 3, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Now, for the past 4 months, Jan and I have driven around this country, and I would have to say, in all honesty, this area is one of the greenest, most verdant areas in the country right now. You would be totally amazed to drive 400 k's up the road and there's not a skerrick of grass. It's as dry as a dog biscuit. Most of the country. We drove across from Broken Hill and there's sheep eating dirt, the ones that are alive. And they're walking through the carcasses of their ones that aren't to eat the dirt. And that's not just one part of Australia, it's all over the place. And then to drive up through the red dirt desert country and in all this, it's absolutely... I know people said you'd be bored to tears driving through that, especially in an old bus that doesn't go there very quickly. But we thought, we just love the changing scenery from the windscreen, just watching it go past, and the red dirt and the orange dirt and the greyish dirt and the you know, whatever. So I think dryness, you'd have to say today, is probably a good indicator of where our nation's at, spiritually speaking. Because God's talking to Ezekiel, can this group of dry bones live? And there's dryness throughout our country. And I don't know if you subscribe to the whole concept of what you see in the natural is got anything to do with what you see in the spirit. But if it is, then I think our nation's in trouble. Can the bones live? What's your feeling? Do you think they can? Can Mount Gambier or wherever you come from, can it live? Can it be something alive? Is it like most places, full of apathy? Full of godless people? Anti-God people? Anti-Christ people? Anti-Jesus people? And I'd probably say, yeah, it probably is the same as everywhere else is. We are not a Christian nation per se, except in the most liberal terms these days. Let me tell you, Christian, you're the exception rather than the rule. You sitting in church today are the exception rather than the rule. How many people in here today? 30 people, 40 people maybe? And out there there's 8,000 of them that aren't. Or 10,000 of them that aren't, or 30,000 of them that aren't. So we're the exception rather than the rule. Can our town, can our shire, can we survive? Can the dry bones of our district or our church live? Now, despite what I see naturally, my response should be, and the same as Ezekiel's, God, only you know. Because only God can change a man's heart. As much as I'd like to slap the gospel into some people, you know, like you do with a computer, punch the information in, as much as you'd like to do that sometimes, you can't. Only God can change a man's heart. Verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy to the bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And that's what this area needs, and that's what our church needs, and that's what Australia needs, and that's what we need, to hear the word of the Lord. The written word preached, taught, witnessed, the prophetic word, the moving of the Holy Spirit, the anointed word, not man's wisdom. Now, I don't know if you caught it in that verse, but God says, prophesy to them, not at them. It's the same as he says to us, speak to them, not at them. You know what will happen? Things will change. If we're not pontificating about something, as we are wont to do as Christians sometimes, people will listen. There's a hunger out there that we have only just touched. And how will it happen? Well, you and me and a donkey or two. Because you can use a donkey. He's proven that in scriptures. And who are we to judge, really, when it's all said and done, what the vessel of God looks like? Because we don't really know. God could use a donkey, he could use an unrepentant politician, he could use, a whacked out dope head if he wanted to speak something into somebody's life that makes a difference. Let us not become judge and jury to that. But let's just say, God, speak how you want to speak. God wants us to touch lives that we sometimes get very uncomfortable with doing. Now, I'm not a street evangelist at all. At all. I don't like going door knocking at all. Anyone else in that category? Who's the mad keen door knockers? Not me, brother. God bless you, I'll send you out. Amen. 18 months ago, I was just leaving a Bible college. Actually, I've been to a Bible college pastor's meeting, and my phone rang, and it was my daughter, Kate. Now, Kate and her husband David had bought a gym, a martial arts gym, and I immediately go, "Not for me, babe. What the hell are you doing that?" Anyway, but he's a mad keen instructor. He's got his black belt in whatever, and she's got a brown belt and black belt and all this, 27 belts. I don't know what they've got. Anyway, she rings me up. "Dad, what are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm just heading home." She said, "Can you turn around and come down to the town that we live in, which is 40 minutes away?" She says, "Can you come down there?" I said, "What for?" She said, "Well, we've got a new boxing ring in the gym, and we want you to bless it." I said, "What? You're joking, aren't you?" She said, "No." And she said, No. She said, "These guys, these fighters, they get in there, they're sort of spiritual. And they won't get in the ring unless it's blessed. Normally a Buddhist monk will do that." She said, but we're not Buddhist. We're Christians. How about a Christian comes in and blesses the ring?" I said, "Well." And I felt the hand of God on it. You know, I thought, "Hang on a minute. I don't agree with you. I don't agree with martial arts. I don't agree with the Eastern stuff. But I agree with God." And I felt like God said to me, "Go and do it." So I turned my car around and I headed off. And as I'm driving down there, I said, "God, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? I've never done this before. I don't know anyone has ever done this before. It's new territory." And I get down there, and in the back of my mind is that passage of scripture where Paul talks about running the race. You run the race as if to win. And no one enters into the race unless you know, and blah, blah, blah. So I get down there and I stand on the edge of this boxing ring where they're going to snot the hell out of each other. And I get my Bible out and I'm saying, "Now, no one gets into this ring to lose. You get in to prove your honour and respect for each other and your skills and abilities. And you don't get in here to adventure anger. You get in here to be skillful and all this sort of stuff." And the Bible talks about, you know, earning the right to be caring and want for each other, even though they're going to get in there and do some damage to each other. And I said, "Now, God bless this ring so that the men that get in here and the women that get in there, that they would be respectful and honouring of each other and all this sort of stuff." And I thought, "Well, that's about all I got." I said to Dave, my son-in-law, "How'd that go?" "Yeah," he said, "that's all right. That's all right." And the blokes that were standing around said, "Yeah, that's all right." They didn't know any more than I did what was supposed to be happening. So then he says to me, "You know, half of my time here as a trainer is talking to these young blokes that have got anger problems. And talking to these young blokes that are trying to earn their self-respect and self-esteem out of snotting people and all that sort of stuff. Half my time is spent talking to them." I said, "You mean like pastoring them?" He said, yeah, something like that. "Oh, righto, Pastor Dave," I said. I said, "Looks to me like you need a chaplain." He goes, probably do. I said, "All right, I've got my hand up. I'll tell you what, I'll come down here every Tuesday night. I'll spend time with your fighters and with your trainers and with anyone who wants to listen or be part of it, so long as you introduce me as the chaplain and you open the door for that spiritual conversation." So I get down there that night, first Tuesday night, and this bloke pulls up in a car, a Holden Cruise. You know what a Holden Cruise is? Not much. diesel, slower still. But on the number plates on the front, he's got this number plate that says, "Be evil." Well, there's a good start. So, and he gets out of the car and he's covered in tats from head to foot. You know, he's as fit as muscles on muscles. And he gets out of this car covered in tats. And I said, "Hey, mate, come here." He said, "What?" I said, you need a new set of wheels." "What do you mean?" I said, "You can't be evil in a Holden Cruise. It's not doing it for me at all." "He said, who the hell are you?" I said, "I'm your new chaplain." Anyway, moving along. So over the next 18 months, we've had time after time. The very next week, one of the guys next door neighbour suicided. And so he wants to talk about life and stuff. And then I got guys lining up, "Can you pray for me?" And there's a girl that comes along. Now, she could swear any of you together under the table, this girl. Like, she can. She'd turn a... Anyway. Enough to say that there's not... She's good at it. And I walked in there one day, and my daughter's there, and I gave my daughter a big hug. "How you going, sweetheart?" And she's watching. She said, "Yeah, I'm good, Dad, you know." And she said, Can I have one of those?" I said, "One of what?" She said, "A hug from Dad." I said, "Yeah, sure." And I gave her a big hug, and she just softened and all of this stuff. She said, "I've never had that. I don't get that from my own father. He's off drinking and doping and all the rest of it. I don't know what this is like. Can you be my dad?" "So long as it doesn't mean I'll give you the inheritance." "Sure." And so, you know, that story is an evolving story where God has taken me, despite my misgivings about the whole martial arts doova thing, and he's planted me in this place where these guys are, they're spiritually empty. And no one else is going near it. I'm not necessarily saying you have to. I'm saying that at that point in time, God wants us to prophesy into the dry bones. And I found a field of dry bones, and I wasn't even looking for them. And God threw me in there as if to say, "This will sort you out." And this will... Anyway, so there I am. Can the dry bones prophesy to them, even if it looks foolish to those around you? I had a Christian sister come along. She saw me down there. "What are you doing down here?" I said, "I'm going to the gym." "That's martial arts." I said, yeah, that's right." I said, "I'm the chaplain there." She said, "What?" I said, yeah, I'm a chaplain there." She said, you can't go in there. It's Eastern religion." I said, "No." I said, "They need Jesus. And there's an open door to go in and talk about it. Why aren't you in there?" "I'm not going to go there. It's against my religion." Well, tough luck. I am, because I think there's an open door. And God opened it for me. I didn't go looking for it. So prophesy to the bones. Prophesy to the valley. Speak. What's prophesy mean? Doesn't it mean speak the mind and the will of God into something? To take hold of what God is saying to you and speak it out. So, prophesy to the valley of dry bones. And he goes on in verses 5 and 6. And this is what the sovereign Lord says to those bones. "I will make breath enter into you. You'll come to life." And verse 6, "I will attach tendons to you, make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you and you'll come to life. And you'll know that I am the Lord." Now this area, whatever you want to call this area, Mount Gambier or Mittagong, it needs the breath of God. And when you look in the scriptures and you can ask Nigel to unpack this for you more if you want to, breath talks about the wind of the Spirit, the breath of God is the wind of the Spirit, or the moving of the Spirit in a place. And God wants us to be like that. He wants us to be changed, like Saul was, the king, you know, in the Old Testament. When the Spirit of God came on, it changed him personally. It changed his personality. He began to be powerful and filled with the things of God, and he spoke them out. Well, what do you want us to do about it, God? Well, do what he asks us to do. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. So there's an obedience factor. And as I was prophesying, there came a noise, a rattling sound. Bones came together, bone to bone, and so on. You see, obedience helps. In fact, it's essential. Doesn't Paul tell us in the New Testament, I would that you all prophesied? 1 Corinthians 14, doesn't he say that? So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as a result, order began to happen, bone to bone. Out of chaos and out of deadness, there began to be this order and life. On our way here, we stopped in at Narracourt. We went to the cave system there, and they've got fossils that, you know, they've discovered in the limestone caves, and I don't know how they do it, but they get half a jawbone and make a whole animal out of it. I don't know if you've noticed that, but Diprodon, or whatever his name was, is the bones, and that they've got this much, but the animal's 27,000 times bigger than that, and they've imagined it to be this way because that what they saw here. So they took a very small section of bone and they've elaborated on that. It's like CSI. Have you ever watched CSI? When they have the facial recognition stuff where they make up a person's face from half a tooth, you know, and you think, hell, how did they do that? It's really amazing to watch. It's magic. And you think, yeah, that's true. That's real. That's what's happening. Well, I don't know. But the bones, when you think about it, the bones are the structure of life. Are they not? Well, let's see you go out the door without them. See how you go. You'd be like a slime ball. We'd have to kick you out. Like, without the structure, without the skeleton, you're nothing. There's nothing full of the rest of you to hang on to. The bones are the structure of life. And so God says, prophesy at the very least to the dry bones that you see in front of you, and let that become the structure of life to grow something fresh and new. So, verse 10, I prophesied as I commanded, and all of this rattling of bones came together, and tendons and all this stuff began to happen. And I think what God is saying to us is, you, me, Paul, or Nigel, or you know, whatever your name is, prophesy. You do it. Speak out the mind and will of God over your area, over your stuff. When I first went to Mossvale to plant a church, Jane and I, we rented a house for 12 months, and then we bought a house eventually, and it was on a hill overlooking the town. And I used to get up on it was a two-story place. I used to get up on the top story and look out the window, and I'd pray over Mossvale. God bless Mossvale. And I'd hold my hand out. God bless, you know. And then one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me as clear as. He said, Paul, I sent you there. Well, I got kudos and everything. Purpose, reason for being, authority, all of that, just four or five words. Paul, I sent you there. So God wants us as individuals to prophesy over the place we're at. Not just the place, but the stuff that God has given into our hand. And the breath of God, the Spirit of God, will begin to flow or continue to flow. As I said, aren't the bones of something, the very structure of life? Isn't your skeleton the framework of your living, of your body? And the belly of dry bones that Ezekiel saw became a living thing. It stood up, a vast army, it says. Now let me sidetrack just a little bit if I can. What if he wasn't talking about the district and he wasn't talking about the church? What if he was talking to us as an individual and the dry bones were the dry bones of our lives? And I think the scripture will handle that interpretation, that sometimes we are the ones with dry bones in our lives. We are the ones with a whole valley full of stuff in our background that we hide and whatever, that God needs to breathe on and let life come to. And I think there's a significant challenge of the Holy Spirit. What if God said, I picked me up by the Spirit and I set me in the valley full of bones, and that valley was me? And then he says to me, can those dry bones in you live? Oh, God, I don't know. There's some stuff in the background there that's not real good. He said, well, prophesy to it, Paul. Prophesy to the emptiness, or prophesy to the loneliness, or prophesy to those old areas of sin, and speak life over, you know, your those things of anger, and deal with those things, and let me into those dark places, those hidden chambers of your heart that only you know about. Prophesy there, son, and let me see something change. I'll breathe my life into them, and they'll go from dark places and they'll turn around into something, into those dry bones of you know, joy in your life. You ever had your joy robbed off you? And you get sort of dry and hopeless and empty, and nothing seems to work. The dry bones of prayerlessness. Have you ever had that? Oh, I've had that one. The dry bones of worship of God. You ever thought, oh, I just don't want to do it. I just couldn't be bothered. Nah, can't do it. God is saying, prophesy to that. If that thing's in there, even now, start to speak to it in the name of Jesus. I want to breathe life, breath of God, come to my worship heart. Come and touch me afresh. Come and help me deal with that stuff. And don't just leave it there. Do something about it. Put on a worship song and dance if you have to or whatever. But do something about it. Don't expect God just to wave a magic wand and say, there you go. No. I mean, it didn't get that way because the devil waved a magic wand and went, shh. It got that way because we made decisions and we neglected stuff and we were disobedient and we sinned and it robbed us of our joy and it robbed us of our worship life and it robbed us of our prayer time. And don't blame everything else. Blame ourselves. That God, I was stupid. That should never have happened. I stuffed it up there. Would you forgive me? And, oh, breath of life, come and touch this area of my life. I want to be a worshiper. I want this not just to be something I do when I get there. I want it to be something I do now. Does that make sense? What about the dry bones of your speech? What's your mouth sound like out there? Does it sound godly? Or does it sound something less than that? Dry bones of your health. I've never thought too much about my health, obviously, over the years. But nowadays, as I get older, I can't believe I engage in conversations. How are you going with that, you know, thing that, you know, and we talk health problems, don't we? I never thought I'd do that. the dry bones of your worship, the dry bones of your church attendance. Is your church attendance one to skip a through few? Is that something that's dry in your heart, dry in your life? Do you see the value of it but couldn't be bothered doing it? Well, why don't you start to prophesy into those dry bones? Oh, breath of God, come into this area of my life. I need your help. Holy Spirit, come, touch this, refresh it, make it new, put life into it again. Now, don't look at me as if I'm talking nonsense. I'm not talking nonsense, and you know I'm not. It happens. Stuff happens like that. And we had one guy in our church, and he was as faithful as every Sunday. And then for a couple of weeks, he didn't come. I mean, I'm not talking once. This is for years he was faithful. And then he didn't come, and then didn't come next week. And he didn't come the week after. Next year, you know, it's 6 months down the track, and he hasn't set foot in the place. And you think, what happened there? Did we offend him? Can't imagine that. You know? And then we ran into him in the street one day. I said, what happened? His name was Ian. Ian, what happened? He says, I don't know. He said, I was only going to take a couple of weeks off and look after the farm for a couple of weeks. And he said, I just didn't get back there. And he's still not back there. Well, it became this dry bone in his life. Like, he just couldn't break through with it. So we need to be able to look at that really honestly and say, God, well, I got these areas in my life. I need to do something with them. Dry bones of relationships, dry bones of faith, all these different areas that we've got in our lives. We need to address them. And we need to have life in us, because out there desperately needs it. I want to tell you something. If you're not doing it, the church isn't doing it. How you do church, or how you do Christ, actually, is probably a better way of putting it, is how the society perceives Christ. If you're not doing it, they're not seeing it. And they desperately need to see it. So have you got dry bones? Of course you have. Don't look at me as if to say I haven't, because you know that denial is the river in Egypt. It's just not going to happen. It ain't there. And what about trouble? What about when trouble comes? Trouble brings a few questions with it. They carry him on his shoulder. What about trouble? When trouble comes, like financial crisis, that's a good trouble. You had that trouble, I've had that trouble. That's a beauty. He asks us a question. And the question is, who's your daddy? Who's your provider? Who are you looking to? You're looking to the Westpac or whoever, financial services? Who are you looking to? Who do you trust? Am I Jehovah Jireh? And he would say to us, yes, I am, but am I Jehovah Jireh to you? That's the question. The question is not whether he is or isn't. The question is, am I to you? And it's a question we need to answer. Are you stressed? Are you worried? Are there dry bones in your life? The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me by the Spirit, and he set me down in the middle of this valley full of dry bones, and it looked like me. And he said, prophesy to the dry bones in your life, son of man. Prophesy to them. Start to speak the mind and will of God. It is not God's will that you be in that place of worry or anxiety or prayerlessness or no worship. It's not God's desire for you to be there. It's certainly the enemy's desire for you to be there. Prophesy into that. Speak by the Holy Spirit and say, God, oh breath of God, come and touch this area of my life. Would you come and do something in here? And it really is only a matter of acknowledging that it's there and then doing something about it. And it may take a week, it may take a month, it may take 5 years for you to get through that, but let it be that you make the effort to start. Now, that's enough about talking about you. What about the place that you worship in? What about your church? Are there dry bones in the church? Yeah, probably are. Are there dry bones in your district? Definitely. There's not one district in Australia that's any different. As I said at the start, the world around us is not godly anymore. There's an element of it, a religious element, if you want, of some sort, but it's not overly outward anymore. You are the exception rather than the rule if you're a Christian. So are there dry bones in the shire here, in the district? Of course there are. Why don't you get your heads together and start looking at that and saying, God, what are they? And then start to prophesy into it. Spirit of God, come into this area. And you don't have to cover it all. You maybe just one or two things to start with. And just, God, what a breath of God. And let it be a heartfelt call on the Spirit of God to change something. Because only God can change hearts of men. Only God can change districts, but he uses you and me to do it, doesn't he? I would never have ventured into a martial arts gym in my life except God. I would never do some of the things that I do in the things of God except for God. If you'd have said to me 30 years ago you'd be standing in front of people talking, I would have said, in your ear? Not likely. No way. I was the shyest. I would not have done that. I would not have done this except for God. When he got hold of my life and he baptized me in the Holy Spirit, filled me with his power and anointing, gave me the gift of tongues. I love that gift. Oh, I love that gift. If I had time, I'd talk about it, but I haven't. I'm running out of time real quick. Jane's going. That's right. That's the end of it. It's finished. And he grabbed hold of my life and he changed me from being someone who wanted to snot people to someone who wanted to love people and care about them. And Heavenly Father, I know that you want us to partner with you in the things of the Spirit. I know that you want us to touch lives. I know that you want us to use people, ordinary people like us, to do extraordinary things, and that we are part of the answer for our district, for our church, for our families. We are part of the answer. Would you come, O breath of God? Stand with me and just let me pray over you. And then we'll call it quits. Come, O breath of God, and breathe on us afresh. Come, if you read the rest of that passage from Ezekiel 37, he says, prophesy to the wind, son of man. Call the wind from the north and the south and the east and the west. Ask the wind to come. And he's talking about the breath of the Spirit. Ask the Spirit to come. So, Lord, come in this place at this time and do what you do best. Put life into dry bones. The dry bones of this church, or the churches in the district, the dry bones of the district itself, the dry bones of our nation, of this state, the dry bones of our lives. We've just touched on the tip of the iceberg of those things this morning, but we're here to say, God, change us, melt us, mold us and shape us to be what you want us to be. Now, Holy Spirit, come and touch us in only the way you can, and make us willing, Help us to be willing to do that, to change. Come, O breath of God, and breathe on this place. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.